Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
What happens if Ryan Mallett goes out and plays as poorly or worse than Brian Hoyer did? Where are you then? And now that's happened. Foolish of me to think that this team was an 8 or 9 win team.
For the second week in a row, they screwed up the first play of the game. How do you do that 2 weeks in a row?
And what's funny is the Panthers' first play of the game should have been intercepted and taken to the house.
As I said, almost. Tough loss for your Horns. For scoring 44 points, they still look like they have some real issues on offense that need to be sorted out against a good defense, which Cal isn't. You know, that's another one of those almost things.
For some reason, someone on that coaching staff thought that Tyrone Swoops was better than Jerod Hurd all this time. One of those guys won back-to-back state championships, and the other guy played at a 1A school and went 1-9 his senior year. I wonder which one of those guys is more built to win.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, you missed some of what you heard there. You missed a little NFL talk with Stanford Route there. We've gotten into a bunch of the college football. And, man, we haven't even scratched the surface of what we need to get into today. But that's how it is on a Monday. Lots of stuff going on. And if you want to join the show, we'll take your phone calls this segment, 713-780-3776. You can also text us. Wanted to hit the Astros briefly because back to within a game and a half. More importantly, they're ahead of the Angels by 2.5 games in that battle for the second wild card. 3 with the Angels tonight. You got Keuchel on the mound. You sure need Dallas Keuchel to be the home Dallas Keuchel that he's been all year, because I think it's critical you take 2 out of 3 here.
I'm with you. I think this is a really important series, and especially because the way the last series went and the Twins are almost, you know, they almost got pushed out of the way, but unfortunately the team that was beating up on them was the Angels.
Right. Right.
I thought it was good for the Astros to win 2 out of 3 against the A's.
But they let that game get away Friday night. They should have swept that series.
The A's are the worst team in the American League. So you should win that series.
And you beat Sonny Gray, which was good, but you should have won Friday night too. And that's the frustrating part. But this is, if you're an Astros fan, this is your key stretch, because to me, you have to take 2 out of 3 from the Angels. And if you want to win the division, you better take 2 out of 3 from the Rangers too. And you've got all 6 of them at home. Theoretically, you're going to have Keuchel twice on those 2 series. He's got to be better than he was in his last start. And then you finish up at Seattle, where, you know, who knows where you're going to be at that point. They've obviously don't have a lot to play for. But this is your stretch. This is where and I would just say, for those of you who have been on the fence about the Astros, said, maybe I'll go out there, maybe I won't. If you really consider yourself an Astros fan, you need to get your butts out to one of these 2 series, because they need a home. That's where home field advantage is going to make a difference. This essentially is your playoff race right here over the next 6 games.
I think that there are now I think we can say the Yankees are going to be a playoff team. They've got a 4-game lead on the rest of the wild card teams.
It would take a complete collapse, and really see that coming.
The 82 wins to the window.
Yeah.
I tried to tell all you guys 81 and a half is a joke.
Yeah, I hit that one for small. I hit the Jays pretty big, though,
so we're going to say they're in, and we're going to say that there's the AL West is up for grabs and a wild card is up for grabs. I think, you know, the Rangers are obviously in that mix, the Astros, the Angels. I think the only other 2 teams that even are still sniffing the playoffs are Minnesota and Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I think by the end of this series, you know, either the Angels will be right in the thick of it, or if the Astros take care of business, the Angels could be eliminated, you know?
I'm just thinking in terms 2 out of 3. You get 2 out of 3 here, then you're going to probably put the Angels far enough behind you that unless you just totally screw up in the Rangers series, you're probably okay. That's why, I think 2 out of 3 in these next 2 series at home gets you in the playoffs. Because I think if you do that, you can get swept at Seattle. You're probably still in the playoffs. You may not win the division. And I don't think that's too much to ask. If you really want to be a playoff team, you're playing the teams that are chasing you, you ought to be able to win 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
At home. So we'll see. Now, if they go and get swept here, then they're in real danger.
Oh, if they get swept here, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So this, I don't think they'll get swept here.
I don't either. I think Keuchel bounces back tonight. I really do.
Well, I can't imagine he'll be worse than he was his last outing. I'll say mm-hmm. that. But the, it was a good timing for the Rangers to drop 2 out of 3 to Seattle.
Yeah. But see, that's a frustrating thing, because if you win that first game, you're a half game back right now. Yeah. And that's the thing. That was just a killer loss Friday night to let that get away. But they bounced back nicely, and I thought they did a good job beating up Gray. And they're where they need to be. But this is, like I said, if you're a fan, get your butt out there. And especially when the Rangers are here, because there's all these bandwagon Ranger fans that live in Houston now. You need to get out there and be loud. Yeah. Get them a home field thing. That's the only time I'll tell you to do that, because this is where they make the playoffs or they don't over these next 6 games, in my opinion. So
I'm with you.
All right, let's grab a phone call. Mark, you're on the Blitz. Go. Mark?
Yes, sir.
You're on the Blitz. Go.
Yes, sir. I was just trying to ask a question on, if the Texans lose a couple more games, would they consider going after, like, Michael Vick or Robert Griffin III?
Well, Michael Vick's playing for the
Steelers.
Yeah,
Michael Vick has a job. RG3 has a job, too, technically.
Yeah, although I think he might be available in trade for – and one of the worst columns I saw today was from USA Today. Oh, the Cowboys ought to go after Robert Griffin. That is so flawed, because, A, you're eating a $16 million hit next year when you've already got Tony Romo, and, B, if you're the Redskins, you're not trading that guy to the Cowboys ever.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That was so dumb. But listen, the thing is, the Texans are whoever you bring in at this point, once the season starts, you can't go out and get a quarterback from someone and expect much unless, you know, somebody that knows the system. And it takes a long time to learn all the terminology and stuff. The RG3 thing, I think you just wait and let that play out. If you want him, you'll be able to probably get him off the scrap heap next year. You can't. There's nothing that's going to save your season out there right now. And if you wanted Michael Vick, he was there for the taking. You had plenty of chances to go sign him.
Yeah.
So anyway, the answer is not sitting on the street right now. That's the problem. That's why once you get into this, you're committed to what you have. And unless you do make a trade with a team like the Redskins, say, hey, we're going to bring this guy.
The Redskins aren't trading you RG3. The Redskins are doing nothing to try to help the Cowboys. I mean,
I thought they might trade him to the Texans.
Oh, I could see that.
I think if they could trade him out of the league, they would.
I'll be honest. The Texans might as well, if you're going to go after RG3, you might as well go after Vince Young. RG3 is not a player in this league anymore, and all that's going to do is cause trouble around here. It doesn't make sense to me. It's not a good fit. He's not a good fit for the offense. Imagine how long RG3 would last behind this offensive line.
Well, that's the thing.
How many hits is that guy going to take?
Not many. And it's not just that. Okay, I'll say it. I just don't think he's that tough. I mean, if you're gonna be a quarterback who gets beat up, you got to. He's been hurt a lot. He got hurt in college. He's never quite been 100% in the NFL since his first year. I don't know that that's a solution. The solution is you need to go out and you got to draft somebody, develop your own guy. All right, we'll try one more. Steven. What's up, Steven?
Turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down.
All right.
Never mind. All right, here's how this works. You turn your radio down and you get off speakerphone. That's all. It's very simple. Might have been a great comment, but we'll never know. Texas says, I think the Cowboys will probably try to get Kyle Orton to come out of retirement to be a backup.
Didn't they try that before and he wasn't interested?
Well, they tried that last year. That's why he went to Buffalo. I don't know exactly what happened there. He didn't want to come back. But I wonder if I can get John Kitna out of retirement again. All I have to do is rally around John Kitna.
I was thinking about that guy last night. All we got to do is rally around.
Yeah. Do we still have that drop, John, or is that thing long gone?
I bet we do.
That's from way, way back.
All we have to do is rally around Brandon Whedon, and we're going to be all right.
All right, 713-780.
All we have to do is rally around John Kitna.
Oh, boy. Texter says, did you guys hear what Cliff Kingsbury said about Brett Bielema? Yeah, I did. I'm kind of glad to see somebody rub it in Bielema's face a little bit, because I'm kind of getting tired of his act, frankly.
The audio play.
I just think the physicality, that's a program that prides themselves on being physical. And at the Texas High School Coaches Convention this summer, he stood up and said, if you don't play with a fullback, we'll kick your ass. If you throw it 70 times a game, we'll kick your ass. And he just got his ass kicked twice in a row, and probably next week by A&M as well. So that did feel good.
It's true.
It is.
He probably is going to get his ass kicked next week. Arkansas, I don't know what I was thinking. That team.
Well, here's what you were thinking. They got better as the season went on, as he worked in his program. There was no reason to think they weren't going to take another step. And you know what? They're not the same team. They're not nearly as good as they were last year. They've taken a big step backwards. And, yeah, I think A&M's probably going to house them. So I wouldn't fault anyone for thinking that team was going to be better this year.
Yeah.
Why would you not?
I think Kingsbury should be careful about who he talks bleep on, though, because that dude is.
And then Bielema said something about how, well, if that was an ass-kicking, I wonder what last year's was. Like, oh, boy, when you're going back to last year now.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Shame.
You know what? I'm not a Bielema fan. All his whining about up-tempo offenses and everything else and trying to create these rules to slow everything down so he can play his plotting crap style. Just shut up, man. He talks a lot of crap. I'm glad to see somebody rub it in his face, because nobody ever challenges him. They just let him say whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
And you're not Nick Saban, dude. Quit trying to be Nick Saban. Go win something first. I like that team, but I don't like the guy. 713-780-ESPN. We'll grab a couple more phone calls when we come back.
All right, guys. Going to tell you again about attorney Gary Trichter. If you find yourself in trouble with the law, accused of DUI, you don't want to just trust any old Joe Schmo in the phone book. You need to trust someone that's been there and done that and is experienced in talking to juries and judges about the science behind these basically the police science, these tests. And law enforcement, they're not backing off. They're stepping up efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to give your blood. So if your weekend stunk because of a DWI, don't despair. There's still hope. Remember those tests that the police gave you? They're inaccurate. They're unreliable. The police breath test machine isn't even warranted for breath testing. The breath test machine then destroys the evidence it checks, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. The blood test, they're not testing your blood. They're testing the air above your blood, a very indirect and circumstantial test for alcohol. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist, one of only four in the entire state, and he's right here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about police blood testing. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone, 713-524-1010, or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.
I miss you guys so much. Last year, Jimmy Kimmel sat on the stage and said, we'll see you back here next year, Tracy Morgan. Well, Jimmy, thanks to my amazing doctors and the support of my family, my beautiful new wife, I'm here. Standing on my own two feet. And God bless all of you for your love, your prayers, and the positive thoughts over the past 15 months. Thank you. I'm honored to be at the Emmys. I've always have been honored to be here. It's been a long road back. I suffered a traumatic brain injury that put me in a coma for 8 days. When I finally regained consciousness, I was just ecstatic to learn that I wasn't the one who messed up. Only recently I've started to feel like myself again, so, which means a whole lot of y'all women gonna get pregnant at the after party. Going down. So on that note.
And we're back. So was that Tracy Morgan or was that our guy who came in studio? Because it sounded just like him.
Craig Gass?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Could have been either.
Women getting pregnant at the after party.
That's
thing.
Right.
He was all over that. I didn't watch it. I just cared about who won. And I thought they got a lot right this year for a change. And I know you you disagree, but Outstanding Drama Series, of the ones that were nominated, I thought Game of Thrones was by far the best. And yeah, I agree Game of Thrones was better last year.
Yeah.
But it to me, the only other one I'd even consider is Better Call Saul, and I think Game of Thrones had a better season overall than Better Call Saul.
We just disagree on that. I thought that Better Call Saul was better this season. I thought that Game of Thrones did have, they brought the thunder at the end of last season, which was good.
There was really only one episode all year where I thought, okay, this is not good. And then it started picking up, man. And then it really was strong at the end.
I thought the first 6-7 episodes, I was starting to wonder what the hell was going on. And
yeah, I only felt that way about really one or two. And then it picked up, and it gradually picked up, and then it was just awesome at the end. So you kind of forget those. But there were two or three of the best episodes that I think have ever been done. So I think that was a deserving winner. Comedy series, I don't really watch Veep, but everybody swears by it. So
it's one of my wife's favorite shows. It's a funny show.
Yeah,
it's good.
I hear great things about it. Lead actor was John Hamm from Mad Men, which I think was that's just one of those achievement awards, basically. I would have gone with Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul or Jeff Daniels from The Newsroom.
Yeah, it's funny that everyone's like, oh, John Hamm finally wins one. I'm like, yeah, now that his show is total crap, suddenly decide to reward him.
It was so bad. It really was. Lead actress, I don't watch How to Get Away with Murder, so I don't know how good Viola Davis was, but I still
from everything I've heard, that show is horrible.
Really?
I've heard terrible things about that show, and I don't know. I can't talk on it because I haven't seen it.
Well, I've seen all the others, and I can't believe that someone was better than Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black, who plays 4, 5, 6 different characters each episode. And it's just amazing. But I haven't seen that show, so I can't really speak to that. Lead actor in a comedy series, it's another one I haven't seen many of, but I think anytime Jeffrey Tambor wins, it's probably right. Yeah. Lead actress in a comedy, Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep. I assume that was the right call there. Supporting actor, Peter Dinklage, Game of Thrones. And I'm glad to see him win, but I think you brought up a great point. Last year
was the year he should have won.
Yeah, just from the whole speech, you know, I'll take trial by combat.
Yeah.
That alone should have won, and they gave it.
They
gave it to Jesse, which I was willing to accept that Lifetime Achievement Award more so than Jon Hamm, because Breaking Bad didn't suck at the end.
Yeah, Breaking Bad was still a fantastic show.
Even though I thought Peter Dinklage was a lot better last year. He wasn't as big a part this year, so I kind of feel like it was a payback. That's one where I might have gone with Jonathan Banks.
Yeah, I think that I'm glad he won. Like you said, he deserved it last year. He didn't get it, but these award shows are all so.
I know.
Stupid.
But I at least like it when they get some of them right, which I do think they did. Yeah. Supporting actress was Uzo Aduba from Orange is the New Black. I didn't really have a strong opinion about any of those, so, yeah, because. Although, you make a pretty good case for Lena Headey just from the shame walk. But, that one I don't have a huge problem with. And really, I think the other ones that we would care about, that's pretty much all of them, right?
Yeah.
Did you watch that Olive Kitteridge that won Outstanding Miniseries?
No.
I thought the acting was really good, but it was sort of a hard show to watch. And I think, I'm pretty sure I ejected on it. But I thought the acting was really good, so it doesn't surprise me that all those guys won. Bill Murray getting a best supporting actor.
Yeah, I need to go check that thing out.
Yeah, it's well written, and it's the acting's good, but it's also one of those where you kind of watch it going, do I really need to watch this?
Yeah.
Daily Show cleaned up, of course, which I think you expect. I'm surprised.
See, this is why it's hard. It's hard for me to take things seriously when you're rewarding shows as they go off the air.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Well, I thought it was interesting that they rewarded The Daily Show, but not David Letterman, who also went off the air. I would have liked to have seen John Oliver win something in one of those, because I think that show's fantastic. The other one that I would have liked to have seen win, I would like to have seen Drunk History win the variety sketch series instead of Amy Schumer, but
Amy Schumer still makes me laugh.
A lot of people like her. But
that show is hilarious.
That Drunk History is hilarious. Well, that was about it. But I thought, good for Game of Thrones, man. And Yeah, Texture says the media shows are like the Heisman. It's just media love, not actuality.
Yep.
Yeah, but I like it when every now and then they get one that I agree with. Hey, can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
Why is it that Cowboy fan feels like he or she has to weigh in on the Texans, and Texans fan feels like he or she has to weigh
in on
the Cowboys?
Because they're insecure and silly.
I mean, guys, that's pathetic. You guys don't play. You play each other once every 4 years where it matters. Why do you care about the other one? Why is Cowboy fan calling us talking about the Texans? And why is Texan fan calling us talking about the Cowboys? I don't get it. Why do you care about them? Why don't you care about the teams in your division? Don't you worry about the Colts? Don't you worry, better worry about the Jaguars and the Titans now, too. I just don't get that. And I see that on Facebook all the time. And nothing makes me log off of Facebook faster than Cowboy fan and Texan fan going after each other over each other's teams. And I know Cowboy fan, well, I have to live in Houston. I have to hear about all those guys. No, you don't. You don't have to read a word about them. You don't have to watch their games. And, well, I have to listen to the fans on Facebook. No, you don't. Ignore them.
Yeah.
And Texan fans, same thing.
Guys can't handle it.
But, no, you like to let them get you all worried up. Yeah, 832, I'm not a Cowboy fan. I'm not worried about the Texans. I'm worried about the Eagles. Right. You should be worried about the Eagles and the Giants and God forbid, the Redskins.
I saw a bunch of Texans fans on my Facebook page trolling Cowboy fans about, you know, crying about Tony Romo and, oh, you guys are screwed. And it's like, Brandon Whedon would be the starting quarterback of the Texans if he was here. You might want to hold up on that.
Yeah, I think I'd be... actually, absolutely. But why are you trolling somebody else? Shouldn't you be worried?
Yeah.
Why don't you be trolling Bill O'Brien? Say, dude, why are we 0-2? That's just one of the things I don't get. And it's funny because now you've introduced this dynamic of Saints fan in the city. And so Saints fans and Cowboy fan go after each other all the time.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of funny, but those aren't rivalries, man. I don't get it. But y'all keep doing it. Makes it fun for us. Actually, no. When you get on Facebook and start acting like idiots, it doesn't make it fun for anyone.
Hey, was the there was pro wrestling in Houston last night?
Yes, there was.
There was a pay-per-view?
Yes, it was.
Someone ran into the ring? A fan ran into the ring?
Yes, they did. And the security tackled him.
Nice.
I don't know how he got to the ring.
I mean, he looked like he was dressed up like some of the other guys in that group.
Yeah. Looks like part of the Shield.
Do we have a name on that guy?
No, I don't know.
Can we do some research, get him on the show?
I could try.
I'd like
to know. Guess who we're having tomorrow, though?
Who?
AJ can tell you.
The professional regurgitator.
Oh, great.
I don't know how we're going to turn it into radio, but I'm going to interview that guy. He's the most fascinating man in the world to me, as far as I'm concerned.
We're going
to
make it work somehow.
They need to get rid of that stupid Dos Equis guy, because the professional regurgitator, way more interesting. Way more.
You know,
that dude could swallow a bottle of Dos Equis, cap on, pop it inside his stomach, pop it with his stomach, pour the liquid out, then cough up the empty bottle, then cough up the bottle cap.
And, man, I got to tell you, that WWE stuff, because we were walking down by Toyota Center to go somewhere Saturday, I must have had 30 18-wheelers to set that show up. It's amazing how many people they need.
By the way, I'm still having trouble on Twitter with the WhatsApp bots.
Yeah. I am too.
It's official. If I ever find the creator of WhatsApp or the bots, I'm going to stomp on his face until he stops breathing.
I love this. Are you guys not going to talk about the game tonight or the Major League Baseball race? We did an entire segment on the Astros and the race, and we've talked about the game tonight. It's all available on podcastarena.com. And Texans fans, well, so race to be the best team in Texas.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
You don't get a prize for that.
No. There's no trophy for that.
There's no silver boot trophy, which, by the way, that's a stupid-ass trophy, too. Worry about winning your games, making the playoffs.
At least that's a legitimate rivalry because they're playing for a division title. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And we're back on the Blitz. On Wednesday, the Houston Dynamo takes on Sporting Kansas City. Match begins at 7:30 at BBVA Compass Stadium, and the race to the playoffs is still on. Special offers for tickets are still available. Log on to HoustonDynamo.com and get yours now. Okay. says 7-3. I think it means 7:30 is when the game starts. So I'm just guessing.
You don't think it's July 3rd?
No. And I know we have to read that, but I don't think the playoff race is really still on after the other night. Hey, one thing we didn't mention on the when the guy asked about improving the offensive line, they did bring in Odey Egbuchi last week, and I think that's a guy who's going to help them. He started a lot of games for his offensive line coach here, so that's, you know, that's one thing that might improve it. At least you got a guy who knows what's expected of him if they can get him up to speed pretty quickly. So there's one thing.
You're Mr. Brightside.
Hey, man, trying to help the people. All right, let's do a dumbass report.
All right, let's start in. This is one of the crazier stories I've read in a while.
It's saying a lot because we do a lot of crazy stories on this.
Yeah, well, a man is going to spend 5 to 20 years in state prison for burning down his family's home. Joshua Whitman, who's 34, told police he set fire to the home because aliens were living in the walls of the home and the basement was a portal for demons. Whitman set fire to the home by igniting a box of wood in the basement. Witnesses saw Whitman fleeing the scene on a bicycle before the home was engulfed in flames. He had a history of heroin abuse and a criminal record dating back to 1999. In addition to prison time, he must pay $91,000 in restitution costs to rebuild his mother's home.
Okay, can I just say, as someone who's kind of a nerd and a booger eater when it comes to aliens and things like that, aliens and demons don't hang out together.
They're against each other?
No, because like demons, when they try to mess with aliens, aliens just vaporize them and send them back to wherever they came from.
Oh, aliens more powerful?
Aliens greater than demons.
Wow, I never would have thought that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm just going to say this guy's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no way that aliens would be living in the walls and demons in the basement.
Well, now he's crazy in prison.
Yeah, okay.
Syracuse, Indiana. A woman was driving when she spotted a spider crawling on her shoulder. What's the proper reaction? How about jumping out of the moving car?
Hey, and spiders make you do some crazy things.
What about leaving your 9-year-old son in the back seat of the moving car while you jump out of said moving car? She backed out of her driveway. She saw the spider and panicked, then jumped from the car. Her son reportedly moved into the front seat and tried to stop the vehicle. He accidentally hit the gas pedal and sent the car careening into a school bus. The boy was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. The bus driver was not hurt. No passengers were on board. The investigation is ongoing. Not wise, Mom. I mean, I don't like spiders either. But
yeah, the reaction is you smash
swat
it.
At it. Yeah,
yeah, you smash it. And
or you stop the car.
Then get out and run and scream. And set it on fire, like the guy did with the demons.
Yeah.
See, combine the two. Set it on fire. Because that's always a bad answer.
That's true. there's a breach in security at a Tulsa County Sheriff's Office evidence room. Is being attributed to an inmate worker who authorities say hid synthetic marijuana in his rectum. Authorities reportedly became suspicious when the 22-year-old man began exhibiting signs of drug use and blood soaked through the seat of his pants.
Why do you need to hide synthetic marijuana?
Apparently it's like more potent than the regular natural stuff.
But is it illegal?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, he broke into the evidence room, hid the K2 inside his rectal cavity, and didn't go well for him. The sergeant noticed the inmate acting strange and possibly under the influence of drugs. The sergeant then discovered several packages of suspected K2 in an open box of cement powder near the inmate. The affidavit said the inmate became extremely violent toward the sergeant before they were able to take custody of him. And finally, another alien story.
All right. Yes, love my aliens.
A woman claims she was abducted by aliens more than 50 years ago has drawn a map. Betty and Barney Hill of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, claim to have been abducted by aliens. Scientists at the time discredited a map that she drew. But experts claim there's no constellation similar to the drawing. It bore no resemblance to any known formation at the time. Now, years later, one statistician has reportedly argued that the unusual alignment of key sun-like stars in the drawing, which mirrors the Zeta Reticuli, could never have happened by chance.
and that Betty was a victim of an alien abduction.
I told you. I told you those aliens are real.
It happens, man. It happens.
I'm friends with aliens.
All right. That's the dumbass.
Let's get the hell out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.